The Holy Letters of the Rebbe, Volume 4, and this is Letter 1115. And the Rebbe addresses this to a fellow named Elkanah. This is Baruch Hashem, the 26th day of Tammuz, Tov Shin Aleph. His name is Elkanah. They write in the parentheses in the bottom that it's Pomerantz. That's his name. So the Rebbe says, I heard through this rabbi, the Rebbe gives a lot of titles for him, Shlomo Zalman Hecht, I received your note. And when I will be at the resting place of my father-in-law, the Rebbe, I will read it. And for sure, he will arouse great mercy for you, that you and your wife, may she live, will be blessed with all that you need, and God will fulfill all your heart's desires for good, generally and specifically. Also, this Rabbi Hecht mentions to me that there is now a possibility to enter into business. So, may it be the will that it should be with success, and may you merit that my father-in-law, the Rebbe, has said in the name of the Alter Rebbe, the author of the Tanya and the Shulchan Aruch, that Hashem gives Jews physicalities, gives them their physical, and Jews take the physical and turn it into spiritual. They take their physicality and make from it spiritual. I will conclude from the subject of the day in the portion of Matis, although in brief, because there is no time allowed to get into detail, and for you this shall be suffice. It's known that the concept of vows, of a neder, one makes a vow, is different than all the other commands of the Torah in the fact that they begin mufla samuch li'ish. You don't have to be bar mitzvah. They begin when you're 12 years old, not when you're 13, as all the other commands of the Torah. Children under bar mitzvah are not commanded the mitzvahs of the Torah, but a vow, and for a girl it would be at 11 versus 12. And the Rebbe doesn't bring that down here. According to the view of many earlier codifiers, Rishonim, this is from the Torah, that this age difference between 12 and 13 is biblical. So what is the message, the moral that we can learn from this? Because the whole idea, what is a vow? A vow is sort of a fence. As we say, a vow is a fence for obstinacy. Which means when a person, or precious, which means that a person makes a vow for himself so that he should not stumble in the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvot. Let's say, just for a sake of example, to understand, if a person goes by a certain bakery which is not kosher, so the smell of the pastry is going to tempt him to go in and buy it. So he says, okay, you know what, I'm not going to go through that street, I'm going to go through the next street, so I'm not going to be tempted. So he makes a vow for himself. He says he makes a vow that even something, there's no prohibition from the Torah to go on that street. You can go on that street, but he makes a vow because he wants to help himself to be able to protect himself from violating what the Torah says. So that means that a vow is a fence and helps the person. It's just like when you have a fence so you don't cross over the line. So it's a fence for the person to not to stumble into intermittences. So now we have, though, a question, because our sages also tell us in Yerushalmi and Nedarim that one should not put extra prohibitions upon himself. It's sufficient what the Torah has prohibited for you. The Torah has 613 mitzvahs, 365 are prohibitions. It's enough for the Torah. Don't make new prohibitions. So one can say, if a person wants to add more prohibitions on himself, that's sort of a show of arrogance. You know, oh, I'm more religious, like you're doing more than you're supposed to. You might even consider and say, if you're adding new things, the Torah says you shall not add to the Torah, nor should you take away from the Torah. Now he's adding to the Torah by making new prohibitions on a person, making new prohibitions on themselves.
But it's to quell his Ein Sahara.
Okay, good. So you could write it. So what does the Torah tell us? The Torah tells us that for fulfillment of Torah, the mitzvahs alone, one can sometimes, as the Ramban writes, one can be a novel b'rishus ha-Torah, which means you may say that you're following the Torah, like maybe technically, but you're going against the spirit of the Torah, like you're not doing really what the Torah really wants you to do. In the Hebrew, it's called a novel b'rishus ha-Torah, which means that you're acting like a person who is going by the Torah, but you're actually being a novel, which means you're being bad. You're not being the right thing. So, therefore, it's absolutely necessary to make a guard for Hashem's guard, so that even things that seem like you're allowed to do, that you're not going to do it. The Torah comes to tell us with the mitzvah of Nedarim, to hint to us that how can you obligate a person when he's 13 years old to do the mitzvahs is by preparing the extra fence and the extra separations on what the Torah has prohibited when you do the extra. This is the idea of the fences that begin as an introduction for the observance of Torah and mitzvahs, which is when he is close before he becomes a man. So in other words, if you're going to do the mitzvahs when you're 13, you have to start training yourself and you have to start fencing yourself before you're 13. You're not going to just be able to jump in cold when you're 13 and say, okay, now I'm bar mitzvah, now I'm obligated to mitzvahs. You must have that introduction, that prayer. And the Rebbe said it's self-understood. This is not something which is across the board for everybody equal, because some people have other needs to separate themselves, and some people don't have to worry about it. Say, for example, some people are, we know it like with food, we know with other addictions, some people have to stay, you can't put the food on the table because they are going to eat it. Some people don't, are not tempted that much, have more control. So it depends really on the individual. But here he gives an example. Our sages tell us that an Am Ha'aretz, meaning a non-learned person, is not allowed to eat meat. Meaning to say he is he gets drawn down. It's like with the vegetarians, say that, you can't, as opposed to a Talmud Chacham, which in the opposite, it says that after he, after vegetables, he should eat meat. So he says like this, that's why the portion of Nedarim was said to the head of the tribes, which means those who are the advantages of their leaders, who are really absolve and fulfill. They decide, because when a person makes a vow, he comes to the leader, he would either absolve or he would let it stand. So what, in other words, they decide what is good to vow and what's not good to vow. So that needs to be done. Who needs to tell you what to do? The leader. So the Rebbe brings it out. He can say, Zeh HaDover. Zeh HaDover, as the pasuk begins over there, in the lighting, magnifying light that he has. So the Rebbe is basically saying that the tzaddikim and the leaders of the generation, the leader, they have the ability to guide a person to decide
which is the vow that he should take upon himself, what he needs to do, and how he should protect himself. So you should seek advice from some of the, in this case, the leader. And of course, that's where we turn to the Rebbe for the Rebbe's advice in many different aspects, because he is the Nasi who is able to guide you and to tell you what is the proper thing and what is not the proper thing. Yeah?
But as you were saying, every person is different. Some person can walk by the non-Kosher bakery and not have it affect them at all. So the leader has to know the particulars, I would think.
That's right. He can understand, and he can understand the person's Yetzer Hara. He knows the person. So it's up to the... to the leader to be able to, but further, the Rebbe says, the leader has sort of a magnifying glass. He has a sense of spiritual sense, knowing the person, how to guide them and how to advise them. I mean, that's how they give the person direction. They give them guidance of what to do, and